So today's minhag, the most exciting thing about the minhag is, what's the minhag? Isn't that the best part?
Yeah.
To surprise you, what's the minhag?
Yeah.
And then, whatever I say, that's not so great. The Torah is not so good, but the topic is the most exciting part. You agree? So the mystery, today's mystery minhag is Peos. The Peos Harosh. The corners of the head. Now, I can speak about this all I want because I do not have Peos. So whatever I say, I don't have Peos. I mean, wait, I have just the bare minimum. The bare minimum Peos. I don't have the Hasidish Peos. But Hasidim have long, curly, what are they called? Side locks? What are they called in English? Side locks? And the Litvaks have the wraparounds. I know someone I went to yeshiva with, and he does not have Peos like me. And he married a girl from a family, and his family comes from a family that no one has Peos. And he married a girl from a family that no one in the family has Peos. And now he lives in Lakewood. And he's sending his kid to the local yeshiva, the Ol Cheder. And he told me that he has no choice, that he has to. Allow his, not that allow, the kid will do whatever the father says, the kid doesn't know the difference. The 3-year-old kid, when they gave him the haircut, that he should have Peos. Why? He doesn't hold from this, and his wife doesn't hold from this. All the kids in the class have Peos. So he doesn't want this kid to have any psychological, what?
Becomes a style rather than...
Yeah, of course, exactly. It's a style, 100%.
The kid will be stigmatized.
Exactly. So he says, well, what do I need? He should be the only kid in the class without Peos. What do I need this for? I'll have Peos when I get older. Whatever it will be, he'll decide to cut them off, not cut them off. But personally, he's like very upset. Why does it have to be like this? Well, I should move out of Lakewood. I have somewhere else. I hardly that this was this came to mind, this whatever. Okay, but this is the topic. Peos Harosh, where does it come from? What is it all about? So first I'll start with two jokes. Not two jokes, two short memories. There are two: should you cut the Peos or should you not cut the Peos? So on the one hand, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, remember, this is a joke, so don't hold me responsible. we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Eilu dvarim she'ein lohem shi'or. Ha'peya. So, there's no limit. It goes all the way down. And you saw the Hasidim, it goes all the way down. Eilu dvarim she'ein lohem. Peya simply refers to the pay of the field. The pay of the corner of the field, there's no limit to how much of the corner of the field you can leave over to the poor man, but it's a joke, but hapeya. But on the other hand, we have kol hamarbe l'saper hareze meshubach. And l'saper means to cut. Besides, it means to speak, also can mean to cut. So you have a conflict. What's the ikar? Is the ikar shein lohem shir peya or kol hamarbe l'saper?
Where's the third reference, like the
Poshik? Anachriyabinayim. I don't know yet. I didn't come to it yet.
You have to apply tables.
Okay, so this now it goes without question. It's halacha deraisa. It's a serious matter. Halacha deraisa. The person is not allowed to shave. That we all know. Not allowed to shave off the peos sarosh. That's the thing. You go to a barber, be very careful. The barber, different opinions in halacha. It's a very great halachic inyan of where is the place where you're not allowed to shave below. There are different opinions. Some are higher, some are lower. What's the thickness? So it's accepted that the shear is 40 hairs. I do not know. There are people who make a calculation of it. It's impossible for a human being to go look in the mirror and count the thickness, the width. In other words, where along the ear you're not allowed to cut. But it comes to a certain point. Let's say a person has very thick size. Some people, their hair goes all the way out into their cheeks. There are people like that. There are people whose hair goes all the way out. And it's above the place of where you're not allowed to cut. Okay, there are different opinions. Where are you not allowed to cut? Let's take the most the uppermost opinion. Some people will not cut even to the bottom of their earlobe. This is a very big chumrah, the briskus. They will, when they shave, if they shave, they will not cut, use the trimmer lower than the ear. That's, but most posts can be allow you to cut much, much higher up to the bone, much higher up. Let's say you have here growing on your cheek, pretty much growing the bone along the cheek. Are you allowed to shave that off to make it nice and straight? So there are different opinions. Some basically it's accept that after you pass 40 hairs, you're allowed to shave it off. How do you calculate 40 hairs? So those swarm that tell you all the measurements, they calculate, is it an inch, is it 2 inches, they tell you exactly what the shear of 40. These are halachic inyanim, which I'm not prepared to discuss. We're discussing more the minhag. It's a given, it's an iser de'oraisa to shave off the peyos harosh. There are different, over in the course of history, among the goyim, there have been different styles of cutting their hair. And over different periods of time, there has been the style of goyim to completely take a razor and shave off the peyos harosh. That is a given, it's an iser de'oraisa for a Jew to do that. You're not allowed to have the line of your hair go in a perfect circle around your head. You must leave over the corner of your head. Now, just because the hair grows, the question then is, well, how much of that peyah, of that corner, must you allow to grow? Is it a mikra hadin? As long as it's long enough that you can theoretically take the tip of the hair and bend it backwards, it has to grow enough. You can bend it backwards and it can touch its roots. Because you have a hair, take a string, take a thread. If the thread has, you have to be able to make a circle pretty much with the thread. Then you can take the one tip and have it turn around and touch the starting tip, to bend it. So how much space, how long is that? I don't know, a fraction of an inch, what's that? How much? A quarter of a centimeter? I don't know what the shear is. There are people that have made these calculations. Basically, it means if you take a scissor and you cut it, it's fine. As long as you don't go so close, it's okay. But then there is a custom that since the Torah says don't cut the peyos harosh, that here to a certain degree is sacred. You shouldn't cut it all together. Just let it grow. Let it grow and grow and grow and grow and grow until it gets as long as it can possibly get. The ikar hadin, it has to be there. There must be a certain bare minimum. If you take a razor and you shave that off, it's an iser de'arais. So you have to let it grow. Can you cut it with a scissor? Yes. But don't cut with a scissor too close. There are many halachas, many parameters. Using, you go to a barber and he takes the trimmer and he goes inside your ear. That's not allowed. That's not so pashut. You're not allowed to tell the barber and take the trimmer, the zzz, that thing, and go and do up against your ear in between. What? Or the shears? All right. So you go show them. Right. You go show them how small the hair is. So you can go back to its place. But once the hair grows, there is such a concept that it's holy, and you should just continue to let it grow. The question is, how long should you let it grow? And after it does grow,
gray or black?
Black. And after it does grow, what do you do with it? Where do you put it? Do you put it behind your ears? Do you let it hang down? Do you curl it? Do you tie it? Do you tie it up in a knot and put it on top of your ear? Do you tie it? Do you tie it on your back? You take the two between the ears? Do you tie it on top of your head under your yarmulke and your hat? These are all minhagim. All different chassidim have different customs. It's not like, oh, this one guy is mishagas. I never knew all these things until I learned this yesterday. He takes his pants and he ties it behind his ears. He's mishagas. No, there's a reason for it, which we'll discuss. We'll discuss, maybe I don't know how far we'll get now because I want to do dafyomi, but these are all interesting. Yeah. Now, the first thing I want to mention is that when it comes to the body, this is a very, very beautiful yisoid. When it comes to the body, there are two things you're not allowed to do to the body. Natural things. Two things that are done to the body. Bris mila. Okay, bris mila is sacred. Bris ois kodesh. The orla is removed. And number two, the peyos are not removed. These are the two parts of the body, the two simon, two aidin to the body. Removing the orla corresponds to the mitzvah aseh tov. You have to do something, you know, it's always refrain from doing something negative and do something positive. Sur meira va'asei tov. In the body, you'll have this concept in everything. It goes throughout everything that there is in this world. When it comes to the body, there is sur meira and asei tov. The sur meira is don't shave off the peis harosh. Don't do that. Leave them. Don't touch it. Let them grow. To a limit, of course. But let it grow. Don't remove it. Asei tov is remove. There is part of the body that must be removed no matter what. Bris milah. So the bris milah has a partner. You don't think of it like that. People think of bris milah and they're payas. Hayalichud v'hayalichud. People don't even pay much attention to the payas. But no, they're partners. The bris milah and the payas harosh are partners. One is they're both to the body. One is something you do to the body, and one is something you don't do to the body. It's a very interesting way of thinking about the payas.
But if you thought about that,
yeah,
the seder of physical growth would somehow be the reverse, no? In other words, you do the bris milah when the child is 8 days old.
That's because
no payas on a child at 8 days old,
right?
And if you say sequentially in terms of the body's growth,
yeah,
it should be first do asei tov, sur meira.
It's not possible. I hear what you're saying, but obviously, due to the way things are, that's how it is. It's an interesting point. Why is it in that way? When you talk about when you follow the seder of the pasuk,
things you're not allowed to do to your body, you're allowed to do tattoos.
But those are not natural things. Those are unnatural things. We're talking about
natural
things.
The bris milah is not natural.
Bris milah, but it's not like a tattoo. Bris milah is a requirement the Torah says to do. I hear what you're saying.
But you're gonna say it's natural. Blood base is natural. So bris milah is not natural.
It's not necessarily so that it's natural, because bris milah, it's a very complicated thing, right? Even among the secular science, the orla, the foreskin, is something which it's not 100% natural. Many goyim also have a bris milah.
Yeah, they do
different. They have a bris milah not because of anything religious. Not because of, no, the Muslims do because of the Torah. The Muslims do because of Avraham Avinu. They do it for religious reasons. But let's talk about completely secular goyim. There are among the Umos HaOlam doctors, scientists that believe that it's a very important, healthy thing that the Arla should be removed. Nothing to do with, and why then did God create the Arla? It was some appendage that was there for whatever reason. They don't look at it as a religious function, a religious that Hashem created for any religious purpose. They do it. So how could it be? Isn't the body perfect? Obviously, it's also a natural thing which must be removed from the body to a certain degree. It partially answers your question. It's not 100% because not everyone among the Muslim do it, and some are against doing it for different reasons, whatever it is. Okay, but let's go further now. Okay, I'm going to do a few more short things because we're running out of time. Now, again, we mentioned before it's not something that's miyuchad only for Hasidim. There's no question about it. The Hasidim, the Chassam Sofer, and his family, and all of his followers, who's very makbid on this, that the person shot payas, and he showed the payas grow all the way down, at least until the chin. That's, we'll see different opinions how far it should go. But this is something which a lot of the Ashkenazim do as well. For example, the Nitziv. There's no greater litvak than the Nitziv. And Nitziv is from one of the heavy-duty for original Litvaks, the Chaim Volozhin, the Litvshim Halach in learning Torah, and his son-in-law who took over, Rabbi Fol Shapiro, the Beis Halevi, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. A lot of the Gedolei Yisrael, the Litvisha Gedolei Yisrael, who have no Shaychus, the biggest Misnagdim, also did have long payas. They didn't necessarily have payas curled, like the way the Hasidim accustomed themselves, but they did have long payas, either behind their ears, or even like the stipler, long payas which just went down, which went all the way down his chin. There is something to it across the board. The biggest Shariah, there is something to it, is the Teimonim. We deal with Minhagim. You cannot learn Minhagim without mentioning the Teimonim. The Teimonim have preserved Minhagim back from the time of the Bayis Sheni. Because the Teimonim, after the time of the Churban, when they came to Yemen, they were settled there, and they were never relocated. A lot of minhagim were lost or were changed or altered when Jews traveled from place to place. When they were expelled from Germany to go to France, or from France to Spain, or Spain to this country, to that country, all over the world. As Jews traveled, they took on new customs, or they forgot their old customs, or customs became corrupt. But the Teimanim have preserved a very, very pure tradition dating back from the time of the Bayis Sheni. And that's very well accepted, very well documented. And the Teimanim, one of their very holy traditions, which by them is a Chayk V'lo Yavar, is Pes. They have Pes Arosh. And that is a very, I mean, for us who don't have Peos, that's very disturbing. Because if they have Peos, and they are really the guardians, they are the guardians of the pure traditions of Klal Yisrael, obviously there's something to it. There's something to it, and the further proof is, Hasidim have Peos, which is only, Hasidim are only how many years old? 400 years old, the most. And Ashkenazim, the Litvaks, also have Peos. The Teimonim have Peos. So obviously it appears that it does date back way, way back further than we can imagine. Peos also represent in different times the tzura of a Jew. When you look at a person, you can instantly tell this person. Today we have a okay, you wear a yarmulke. So you're a yarmulke, but let's say you don't wear a yarmulke. Wearing yarmulke is not necessarily what was always done. The Gemara talks about you should cover your head, but doesn't necessarily seem that people actually cover their head other than times when they daven, when they ate, when they learned, things like that. The way you can always tell that a person is a Jew is by the peos. And it does appear that to some certain degree people were nizar, that being that this part of the head has sanctity, you should let it grow a little bit longer than is required according to the letter of the law.
You are not following the Rambam, the Teimanim.
The Rambam, I don't know, the Rambam does not talk about Peos. He doesn't mention anything about Peos Rosh, how long it should be. I don't know. Some things, some things not. Just tell you, when Minig Chabad, the Minig of Chabad of Lubavitch is the very Makbid. Notice the Chabad, the Hasidim, right? The Chabad, they're real heavy duty Hasidim. They were, before, go back, they were from the biggest, holiest Hasidim. The previous generations, they don't have payas. They have payas, but only behind their ears. They do not allow their payas like the bells of Hasidim and the Satna. They don't let their payas go down to their chin. Why not? Because they are very they are of the opinion that the very big hakpada that the payas harosh should not mix with the hair of the beard. They represent, in the world of Kabbalah, two very different concepts. The hair of the beard represents some type of rachamim, I don't know exactly, and the hair of the peyos harosh, it's the head. The head and the zokain are different worlds. And it's dangerous for the two to mix. So if you're going to allow your peyos to come down and blend into your beard, you're destroying worlds, or you're putting yourself into a very great sakana. There is the mingling of forces which are not meant to come together. Therefore, they are very makbid, Lubavitch and Hasidim, to grow peyos. The hair is holy. Keep it separate. Keep it behind your ear. Don't let it come down to your face. Hasidim, this is one of the main reasons why they curl their peyos. Why do they curl the peyos? Some will tell you it's a yoifi, it's a hiddur mitzvah. Being that the hair of the peyos harosh are kodesh, are sacred, you should be mahader, you should beautify them by curling them and making them look beautiful. Others say no, it's more than just beauty. It's when you curl the peyos, they are distinct. They are not any. They are no longer confused with the hair of the beard. Because this, what the Lubavitch says is true, it's very correct. There's a sakana in the world of Kabbalah for the hair of the peos to mingle with the hair of the beard. And the way you keep them distinct is you curl them, and when you look at a person, they're two different worlds. These are peos, and this is the hair of the beard. Now, there's another issue, which we'll conclude with this, is that it's a very big sakana to keep the hair in the area of the ear. why. And I have, again, I'll tell you, these things are totally new to me. And like I always tell you, don't necessarily repeat these things. And the people listening on the table also should not repeat these things. The here represents din, judgment, whatever that means. The ear represents rachamim. It represents tefillah. Ki atosh shemeya tefillas amcha Yisrael berachamim. Even though the tefillah refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu's koyach hashmiya, but man is created with tzelem Elokim, and the ear represents the acceptance of tefillah. And tefillah, by definition, is rachamim. So if you take the Peyos HaRosh, which have nothing to do with the ear, think about it, the Peyos HaRosh come from here. It has nothing to do with the ear. So now, the Hasidim say we got a problem. The problem is, we can't let the hair of the head come down. It's going to blend into the beard. And the hair of the beard is a different world. This is a whole different Kabbalah, whatever it is. And if they mingle, who knows what's going to happen? Sakana. So we're going to keep it separate. How are we going to keep it separate? I want to curl it. I'm not a girl. I'm not going to curl it. So what am I going to do? I'll put it behind my ear. You want to take the hair of your head, of the Peyos HaRosh, and drape it around your ear. That's even a greater sakana. Because hair from the head is din, and the ear represents the Kabbalah, ki atosh shemea tefilas amcha Yisrael berachamim. You're mingling din with rachamim. It's even a greater sakana. So don't you dare take your Peyos and put it behind your ear and wrap it around your ear. So you got a problem. What do? You don't want to let it come down. Next solution, you tie it. You tie it up. You take the payas, you let it grow long, and you tie it in the back of your head or under your yarmulke. You got to keep it separate. Very interesting. All different approaches. It's a problem. It's holy. It's holy. You don't want to cut it. Let it drape down. Beard. You don't want to do that. You don't want to curl it. You're not so stylish. Ear, sakana. You'll tie it together. But is that really a nice thing to do? It's a little bit. It's not there. It's a zilzel to the the Peyos. So these are the issues of Peyos, and there are different customs. Okay, we'll finish up with this tomorrow. Yeah.
The connection to din is found in the expression Hashem judges the tzaddik.
Very good. Hashem is the judge of the Chud Hasara, so it represents minor imperfections. Very interesting. Okay, let's do some Daf Yomi. We have a little time. Okay, Daf Yomi today is Daf Yudal. I want to share with you an idea. I like this idea. I think this.